Hello, hello.
Hello.
Thank you for joining Sunday Shift again. Make sure that you like, that you subscribe, that you leave us a message. We love all of it and we really just appreciate it. We sometimes we'll see comments and they'll be like, this like Sunday Shift was better than the show this week. And I'm like, okay, we gotta keep on it. We gotta keep on it. Like those comments are what keeps us going. So we really appreciate y'all.
Yeah,
How was your
really.
week?
Well, it was a lot. A lot going on. We had a town hall yesterday, and during the town hall, some of you who follow either of us on social media might have found out that I am actually running for Oakland City Council. So that
It's real
happened.
Leslie Nope up in here.
Yes. Totally. So, yeah. So, for those, just as a, heads up, I am probably going to be absent periodically on GH Sunday Shift. I'm always going to be watching and always going to be commenting. But that's the reason why. But we have awesome friends and viewers who can come in, that Tracy knows that can fill, the shoes. But I hope you all can wish me luck on this because it's going to be a new adventure for me. Even though I've worked in politics and civic engagement for I think over 7 years, something that doing for yourself is a totally different animal. And I'm going to need all the prayers and good luck and good wishes and all the
Yes, we're saying super good vibes, really
things.
excited. We have, I just remember and I like laugh when we were like, when we first had the podcast, we were like, we're really not going to get political. And now we're like, Tanya's running for office now, actually. It's really cool.
Nisha to get political. So any of our listeners that live in Oakland and want to learn more about my campaign, please let us know. I'm happy to talk.
Comments.
Yes.
Let us know. Let us
Let us
know.
know. But yeah, that's what's going on with me.
Yeah, I have done nothing as exciting. The only thing that was like kind of interesting, we were just talking about getting back on our Apple Watch vibe, so hold us accountable for that. And I watched American Fiction yesterday,
Is
and I
it
really enjoyed
good?
it. Yeah, it's on. I
Awesome.
really was like, I'm gonna go to the movie theater and go see it. But then I was like, no,
So it's
it
on
was.
streaming
It's
now?
on Amazon Prime.
Awesome.
Yeah, so really enjoyed it. Jeffrey Wright, amazing. Sterling K. Brown, amazing. Erica Alexander, Maxine Shaw, attorney at law for any of our people who are old enough to have watched Living Single, amazing. So I really enjoyed it. Watch it, chat me about it, because I really thought it was a great movie.
I'm probably going to watch it tonight now that I know that it's streaming, but I did watch the Oscars,
Oh.
either the Oscars or one of those acting awards. And when they gave the presentation, it was like the four main cast members were on the screen and they all said something, but Erica Alexander was so funny. Like she had the
She's so
last
funny.
word and she was intense and hilarious. And so just for her almost, I'm going to watch. But they're also everyone, Sterling K. Brown, Tracy Ellis Ross, all of them are amazing in their own right. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah, and I mean Sterling K. Brown, first of all, I watched This Is Us, and so I loved him and Beth, but I love him and his real life wife too. Don't tell me
Yes.
nothing about Sterling K. Brown. Don't tell me nothing bad. I only want to know good things.
The only
That's
bad
it.
thing I would have about Sterling K. Brown is that he didn't have a larger part in the Black Panther.
True.
He had a small part, and I was mad upset that he got killed off. I was like, "What?"
Yeah.
But
That's
happy
right.
that he was in it.
That's right. That's right. So I love that my update for the week is I watched a movie.
Hey,
That's
if that's the update, that's the update. There's some really good movies.
it's been a lot of work.
Yes.
I've been like deep in. I'm really trying to front load work this year so that like after Thanksgiving, I'm trying to be offline.
Girl, you and me both, because that's the election day.
That's right. Well, that's before election. for you.
The election is November 5th, and Thanksgiving is after that. I'm probably going to be like,
you need to rest. Like, once you run, I ran way back in the day, so we'll swap stories about what that was like.
Oh, wow.
But I had an April race, and so after that, I was like, close the blinds. I'm trying to watch TV.
Disappear.
So, yeah.
I'm hoping that by November that my credit is okay and I can go on a trip. Because right now I'm putting in a lot of my money so far, and it's like, oddly enough, my credit score is boosting. It's weird.
There you go. We love that. Well, let me know, because I'm a good trip planner. Mm-hmm. So let me know. I will have you out here feeling luxurious on a budget.
Hey. I like that.
Let's get into GH. Mm-hmm. Performer of the week.
Again, that was hard for me, and it wasn't hard for me.
Mm-hmm. Tell me.
I actually only put two people. I put four people down.
Okay.
But I kind of put them in two categories, like they were couples. Well, one of them is and one of them isn't. Okay. So, again, have to hand it down to Bradford Anderson and Kirsten Storms. They cracked me up and still do. I mean, one of my hot takes was laughing at Maxie trying to start her car where clearly the gas was on empty and then going, uh-oh. I busted up laughing. It was so funny. So, you know, again, kudos to them and building Spixie again. Love it. But also giving just a nod to Jimmy Francis and Haley Mills this week. It was a little bit of a, well, I didn't expect that they would work so soon to try to make Haley Mills or make Heather good again.
No.
And so you don't like that idea. But again, just the acting chops. Why did I call her Haley Mills?
I understood what you meant. I understood exactly who you meant. I was just like gonna roll with it.
You're like Haley Mills. Yeah, but the acting is just awesome as usual. Yeah. And, you know, at the end of what cracked me up and disgusted me at the same time was Heather was like, how good is is Kevin in bed? I was like, really? It was just so left field.
And Laura doesn't have any, she cannot compare it to Ryan, actually. Right.
So. She doesn't know.
Gross.
Like they were about to sit here and compare notes about brothers in bed.
I love Allie.
Right, Allie.
I was about to call her Haley too. I love Allie Mills. I think that she is phenomenal. I think part of the problem with GH is that they don't know how to like let really great actors go.
Mm-hmm. They and, like, should
bring them back when they need to. And so they try to like redeem everyone or they try to do whatever with everyone. And that for me is not compelling. We'll talk about it when we talk about that section, but the storyline ain't it for me. Bringing her back like that ain't it for me. Like, I'm not into it. So that's that for that. And then I also want to give a shout out to Kelly Monaco. I loved Sam by Dante's bedside.
Right.
I loved every scene she was in. I loved her stuff with Laura Wright. When she was like, call the police. Now, I hated that. But it was like, I did love the like exchange because she said it and she was serious, but she was looked at her like, I know you're not gonna do it. And then Laura Wright's response was like, the girl, no, I ain't gonna call the police.
You're like,
so.
But I mean, we'll have to talk about it in detail, but you're right. I think she's doing a great performance in showing her her conflict.
Yeah.
But also choosing a side. And it was a difficult decision. And she's clearly choosing on the side of Dante, not knowing the information. That was the comment that another comment that I had made is that the dynamic of who believes Jason shot Dante versus the those who don't without knowing. And then I was like, it's going to be interesting how motivated folks are going to feel when Dante wakes up. But at the same time, his point of view might be different. He can, he may confirm, yes, Jason wasn't the one who shot me, but Jason is still guilty and I'm going to prosecute him and go after him.
Yeah, we don't know. It's going to be, I mean, let's just talk about let's get into it because I have so much to say about this. I was like laughing. I was, you know, friend of the show, Britt, who's filled in a couple times, does like a Twitter spaces every week, like a speculation space. And like I announced, like, I'm back on my BS. And my BS is loving Jason. That's
my BS. That was her.
That's my BS. Like I was like, because before I had like thrown that man away, I was like, whatever, bye. Not gonna miss you. And I'm like, dang, Jason's back. I'm excited for this.
Yes. No, we both were kind of like,
I know. And now I'm back on my BS. All it was for him to come back. It's just a different show with him. I think part of it is because character. There's some characters that just don't work as well with him not being there. The mob stuff. Look, this is Mob Hospital. I've been watching this show since summer of 2003 when Jason found Carly in the panic room. And it has been Mob Hospital since the moment I started watching it.
It's been, it's kind of been Mob Hospital ever since Jason woke up from being hit by a car. Basically.
So it's like, I hear it. I hear people who like don't like the mob. I get it. I'm not, you know, no shade to people who don't. But I am like, this is what it is. And like a lot of our faves who are not necessarily mob connected but mob adjacent don't get story if it's not connected to some sort of mobby thing. So,
I mean, just look at how many characters got more story just because Jason is back. Danny, Sam,
Michael like, Willow has something Michael and to
Willow. Yeah, Michael and Willow, Alexis. They're even kind of somewhat pulling Curtis in. You know, I mean, almost everyone that's been on the canvas has had lines or story because of him coming back. And, you know, we even like saw it even before he came back. Folks were, you know, we're starting to see people on the scene just talking about it or setting up the emotions needed for when Jason comes back. So, unfortunately, that's where the show lies around. But at the same time, you know, some people don't like it, but mob life is fascinating. We've had like a series of hit television shows, movies, everything around mobs, because it's a little bit fascinating to understand people's mindset that do that kind of business. And that regardless of how ruthless they are, at the end of the day, they are human beings and we're all trying to figure it out. Like, how as a human being can you engage in this kind of life? And how do you deal with the emotions and the ramifications of what your life does to your friends and your family? That's essentially what this is about. It's not necessarily about, you know, the mechanics of being a mobster. It's more about dealing with the humanness of those people engaging in this activity. And that is fascinating to watch. I mean, you don't want to be a voyeur to violence, but unfortunately, it is a human thing. People watch crime shows all the time. People, they want to know who's the like who killed somebody. And that's just like, essentially, you don't want to do that because like, why should we celebrate murderers? Why should we celebrate criminals? But curiosity, that's what we're all about. You know, we're fascinated. Like, I cannot watch a horror movie to save my life, but I will read the synopsis of it, and I will read, I'll read about it, and I'll read about the actors and all of that, just because I'm super curious. I can't stand the trailers, but I see them all the time. I'm like, what was this story? Because I like the story. I like the story, not necessarily the visuals. So
I mean, I was gonna say, The other part of it is my complaint about how Sunny is and how it's been written is right. that there is not that balance. That, right. like, even this week, we had, like, Anna running down, like, mm-hmm. evidence to the mob boss. The mm-hmm. mob boss is, like, BFFs with the mayor. So, right. like, they're... Part of the frustration is not just that Sunny's in the mob or the mob is present. Is that the mob, like, they don't know how to tell a mob story with Sunny without making him, like, some kind of heroic good guy mm-hmm. as opposed to, like, an anti-hero. Mm-hmm. And that has been frustrating to me.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is because we didn't have Jason, so there was so much of, like, watching Sunny get his hands dirty and being, like, in the fold.
Right.
And still trying to, like, have to pretend like this is a good dude. When right. it's, like, very different when you watch someone, like, it's like, I'm only going after people who go after me. Not, I'm going to the church and beating up an old man. You know what I mean?
Like, or stuffing my subordinate, or no, stuff hanging my subordinate enemy hook.
Right.
Throwing somebody in the trunk of a car, beating them in the stairway hallway. I mean, all these things are really violent things that we're supposed to kind of just, like, forget about.
Yeah, like, it's just Sunny. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, Sunny was never, that wasn't what he was doing. He was behind yeah. the desk, like, giving orders. No. And then you would see Jason kind do of, it. Like, dealing with the humanity of whether or not this is the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's also, like, what the, I mean, we'll see this come up with, like, Jex. Like, this is the conflict with what happened with Dex, that he was not in a position to really push back against Sunny.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have something different.
Yeah.
I will say this. So, okay, Jason, we saw him at Carly's house, obviously. We saw Anna and Jagger, we're calling him Jagger, come in with a warrant.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he wasn't there. He had left. Goes to Robin's Bridge. It's going to always be Robin's Bridge to me. Goes to Robin's Bridge. Jump off. I don't know how many. I posted on our Instagram an edit with the Titanic music. So please go look at if you haven't. and he shows up at the boathouse and he has these scenes with Danny, with Willow, and with Michael. How did you feel about just that piece, those pieces?
I started nerding out a little bit and trying to think about where on the map is Robin's Bridge in connection to the Quartermain's house. Because I was just like, so that means Robin's Bridge must be on Quartermain property. And then somebody else had posted, like, in a sarcastic tone, that Jason kind of didn't swim to the boathouse. Like, he jumped and landed and floated down to the bottom and then walked over there on angel's wings and all this. And I was just like, yeah, it seemed like, because I'm just thinking, first of all, this man is shot. He keeps saying the bullet went through, but we don't see the exit where the bullet went through. We only see where it went in. So in my mind, it's still like the bullet is still in there, even though he clearly keeps saying it. So he's shot. He has the strength to travel from Carly's house to Robin's Bridge. That would have exhausted me. I would have probably passed out on the way to Robin's Bridge.
It would have exhausted me.
Right? Without a bullet wound. Right? So then he goes to the, yeah, that jump. That job was pretty agile for someone that has been shot, right? It's just like he bounced up over the hill, lands. Now, I'm assuming that Robin's Bridge is not 5 feet off the ground. I'm assuming it's like more than like maybe 20. You know, it's not an easy jump, but he just mm-hmm. jumps, lands, and somehow ends up at the boathouse. And obviously that's when he's like, oh my God, I can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. I gotta pass out because I'm losing mm-hmm. too much blood. And that's where, you know, so I was really trying to figure out in my mind's mind where all these things were. Because he's going all the way across town as if they are mere blocks away from each other.
You're like, logistically, how is this working?
How's this working? But, okay, so the bridge scene was fascinating. And it really, because... Anna was trying to appeal to him as someone who knew him.
Right.
And saying, you know, Jason, just let us come in and we'll figure it. Just come in with us. We'll figure it all out. You know, this is me, Anna. I'm not going to be like every other cop. Come with me. Let's figure it out together. That's how
Anna said, I'm not a regular cop.
I'm not a regular cop. I'm Anna. Right. And he, you know, the funny thing is like what surprises me is people are talking to him and rationalizing about him as if he's not the same Jason that they knew. When has Jason ever willingly surrendered to the police? Mm-hmm. When has Jason willingly talked to the police? Like, even right. when he was captured, he was stone silent. That's part of the reason why he has that nickname. He would not talk. He would look at them and just keep it moving. He mm-hmm. was always one to not necessarily be in the mix with police because that's how he was taught. Not right. to engage with the police. But people are acting like, oh my God, if he's innocent, why didn't he stay and wait for the ambulance? Why would he? Why would he do that? So Anna talking to him on the bridge, like he was like, you're right, Anna, I'm just going to turn myself in right now. No, that's not going to happen. So Jason jumps. And then there was a, I thought that some of the FBI men shot at him.
That's what I thought too. So Bradford and Steve, you know, they have their podcast and mm-hmm. I was kind of listening to them talk about it. And Bradford noted that he was like, yeah, I heard like gunshots or whatever. Steve was like, I don't know. So I don't know if I have to go back and watch it
right.
because we know what we know about Jagger.
Yeah. But
it felt like he was being coy about it. It was really a bizarre thing. And to your point about, and I think that this goes to like Sam and to Sunny and to all of these people, I need to understand how nobody is thinking about this. Even if you don't believe Jason, why right. are they not thinking about it like Jason has been programmed? The last time we saw him was on Program Island, aka right. Saturn Island. So even if you thought he was really going after you, even if you didn't have the blind trust in him that like Carly and Michael have, how is the conversation acting as if like Jason would just like leave with no word, that he would come back and shoot Sonny? Even the whole idea like, oh, he was helping set up the shot. If Jason was setting up a shot, the shot would have hit.
Exactly.
So and like, then, how is that not coming up?
And how is it not even just the idea of programming, but the idea that this man has a history of brain damage? Mm-hmm. At the very least, the thought could have been like, he was trapped under an avalanche. Maybe he hit his head, yes. you know? So maybe his thinking isn't quite where it should be. And he's also, you know, Sam knows he's had tumors and all this other stuff.
She was the one who saved him from that stuff.
Exactly. So why isn't she thinking, okay, something must be wrong again, at least physically with his head or psychologically or anything, and not give him the benefit of the doubt?
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
It was really bizarre.
Yes.
Extremely bizarre to me. So I was happy. So let me say about his reunion with his first son, Michael.
Right. Because again, that's all he remembers is about, I remember when I held you.
I posted that on our Instagram too, and mm-hmm. I pinned it, and I found pictures of Steve and Jackie mm-hmm. holding it, or like with like the baby, and I felt like that was a really sweet part because mm-hmm. like Steve Burton loved Jackie mm-hmm. and so he didn't get a chance to say goodbye with mm-hmm. the funeral, and so him being able to do that, I do hope that we also have something like that with Sonia mm-hmm. and Epiphany mm-hmm. I felt like that was a really beautiful moment to mm-hmm. like, and it's such a use of history to be like, if you've watched the show for this long, you remember this moment too. I thought that was really sweet. Not sweet, the Danny reunion.
Well, so that was interesting because not only did that memory ground us in the history between Jason and Bobby, but it also grounded us in the history of, like you said, his first son. He does not have, well, I don't know. I don't quite remember the circumstances of Danny. I remember that it was revealed that he was Danny's dad, but Jason and Sam were separated at the time that he was born, correct?
So,
and it was a question mark. Oh, that it was Franco that had raped her. And so he was like, but not, and he was thinking that Danny was not his. And so he doesn't have that same connection.
But with, Danny was then kidnapped.
Was then kidnapped, and he
Sam
found
got him back.
Yeah.
And then in almost instantly, Sam, because I'm trying to remember if he knew beforehand. Anyway.
No, he didn't know back. Until later after he was brought back. Mm. And but Sam was like, I do want to move back in with you. I think it was in the hospital scene when she was about to take Danny home that she was like, yeah, I want to get back together. I want to move back, you know.
Right. But did he know that Danny was his?
No, he still didn't know Danny. No, he still did not know Danny was his. And he was still trying to grapple with the fact that Danny could have possibly been Franco's son. Because I think that was the issue between them. He didn't think he could raise another man's son, Franco's son, the man that raped So he was just like very conflicted about it all. And it took him some time to wrap around that he could love any baby.
Yeah. And I'll put a trigger warning at the beginning of this around. Right, sorry. Like, no, it's okay. But like SA and all that. Because I know that sometimes when you say the word, like YouTube will like flag it and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
So just a note for people who are listening. I'll put a warning at the top.
Yeah, but yeah, it was a very violent story, I think, mm-hmm. kind of, even though you didn't actually see anything happen. It was just the question mark of it all.
Yeah, and but so, then the way they redeemed Franco was like came back and was like, just kidding, that's not what happened. I just wanted you to think it's what happened.
What happened, right. But in any case, his relationship with Danny as a baby is different than Michael as a baby.
Right.
So
same with Michael and Wiley, because if you remember... Michael was talking about the first time he held Amelia, even though he knew Wiley as a baby.
He knew Wiley as a baby, but it wasn't like, this is mine. And the first time you hold a baby that you know is yours or you have a feeling is going to be yours for the rest of your life, it's a totally different dynamic. Right. But at the same time, all the trials and tribulations that he and Michael have been through, mm-hmm. it's always going to be that way where Michael is always going to be his son, even more so than Sonny is.
Right. Because I was just like saying this to Sandra earlier. Mm-hmm. I was like, I had just gone back and watched the scenes mm-hmm. with Michael and Willow in court with Nina at the like custody hearing,
right?
Not custody, visitation hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And like when Sonny got on the stand for Nina,
ooh.
I was like, can you imagine if Jason was there when that happened? Like that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Like his presence just like would reframe a bunch of stuff around all of these things. And even if you were still going to be a Sona fan, that's cool. If you like the chemistry, if you like whatever. But I think that part of the problem with that story is that we saw it in Sonny's conversation with Lois.
Right.
It's like, you're just making stuff up now. And it wasn't that it's not just that's his point of view. Sonny can have whatever point of view he has.
Mm-hmm.
But in that conversation between Sonny and Lois, there was no pushback to be like, bro, that's not even true.
Right. And because of it was Lois... She wasn't there, so she doesn't know any of the other side, so she can only but agree with him. But thank you for bringing that custody thing up, because there's so much that went on between Michael and Sonny that Jason has no idea about. And once he hears about it, it's going to be interesting. It's going to add that much more tension between Sonny and Jason, because I can imagine once Sonny finds out that Jason and Michael were connected during this time where he's on the run, he's going to feel again more distant with Michael, because mm-hmm. now Jason is in the scene and he knows he can't compete with Jason when it turns to affection. Jason will always fight for Michael.
Right.
100%. So that's going to add that tension. And Jason's going to feel some kind of way about Sonny siding mm-hmm. with Nina over Michael too.
Yeah,
that's gonna. All those scenes are gonna be amazing. I can't even wait to watch.
It's one thing for him to have. It's one thing for him to have cheated on Carly. That's like an emotional, like you know, whatever. I'm not defending it, but like mm-hmm. you know, people grown, they understand affairs and this and that. It's quite another for you to like purposefully put this woman over your son. Like, that's another thing all, like, all together. And then, like, the history of Michael and Claudia being, like, relitigated in the court. Mm-hmm. And instead of it, like, knowing everything that happened to Michael because of that and after that.
Right.
Sunny then, like, look, now we're relitigating it. But, like, instead of, like, going to Michael and being, like, I'm so sorry, like, whatever. Right. He, like, comforted Nina. That was wild times.
Yes. Like, and so, wild. Yeah, again, from Sunny's point of view, it's always, like, why can't Michael accept my choices in life?
Right.
Whereas Jason's point of view would be, like, why aren't you protecting your son over anything?
Right.
Because that's what I would do. I think Michael. Like, I think Sam knew it at the time. Michael was number one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 100%. Jason went to jail for Michael.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
I will also say that I think that part of when Jason should have bonded with Danny was when Sam went to jail. Remembering, like, he had both. Danny and Scout, because this is when Drew was presumed dead.
That's right.
And so, but a lot of that was like he took the kids to Monica's house.
Right. He wouldn't do that much.
Monica, watch these kids. so, you know, you had that going on. Uh-huh. But I really like the kid who's playing Danny. I keep saying he has boy band hair in the best way.
He does.
He's such a little cutie. I think his, like, chemistry with Alexis and with Christina particularly just really tickled me.
Right.
I thought they were so good together. And I feel like he's growing every time we see him. So I do like him. I like his relationship with Jake. I do hope that we get to see the two of them together more.
Right.
I'm curious to know how Jake is going to react when he finds out about Jason, because Jake is the straight and narrow kid now.
Yes. So as far as Danny and Jason, I kind of feel like the actor is trying to be a mix of what they think Jason's son should be. Stoic, cool, not really sharing the feelings too much. Imagine being confronted with the myth of Jason in real life and seeing it after you hadn't seen him for years. You haven't been able to actually know him and learn him, but you hear all these things about him. You hear people tell you that you're just like him.
Right.
And so you kind of want to, I know as a teenager, you almost want to live up to that, right? And so, but also having strong feelings for the man that raised you, right? So he was trying to play one, someone who heard that his real dad shot his stepdad, and then seeing his real dad and wanting to be like, did you do it? Did you do it?
Mm-hmm.
And then hearing from his real dad that he didn't do it.
Right.
Trying to be like, okay, well, I'm going to try to help you. And this is his first actual instance of dealing with what it means to be in the mob life, right?
That's right.
So he has not had to keep something a secret or help someone that's criminally or has been involved with the police. So he's trying to navigate that. I think that all of that would be a difficult thing to play, especially for someone who's new to acting. So I think I do think he did an amazing job given that. It's a lot, and he's going to grow into it. So I just want to give him kudos as well for that. So I think that was amazing.
And then
Jason being confronted with bringing a child into this life sooner than he probably would have liked, right?
Or ever would have liked.
And not, again, everything he was doing is like, no, you know, you should go back to the house. You should do this and you should do that. Not something that he would ever want a child to have to deal with or a teenager to have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And so maybe not necessarily being as close and as open to him because of that as he is with Michael. That's going to also be an interesting dynamic, is all of Jason's kids wrestling with Michael as the first son, who's not really the son.
And with Jocelyn as a favorite as well.
Right.
I would say, I think that all that is completely correct. I think that the other part that was like important for Danny to see was Michael going in directly for a hug. It didn't matter where Jason had been. He trusts him implicitly. And like, I'm going to ask you the question, like, did you have anything to do with the Dante thing? Not that I would even think you did it on purpose, but like, what happened?
Right.
Like, for Danny to see that Michael is like, you could tell he relaxed into it and was like, okay, well, if Michael thinks it, then okay, we're done here.
Yeah.
And Michael, even like being the mob kid, who's been, who they've always tried to like keep out of the life. They've always pushed Michael away. Mm-hmm. And Morgan was actually like the little mobby baby.
Right.
like, he was like, for Michael to say to Danny, I know that you're going to have questions and I will answer them for you. Like, I'm not going to be like the other adults who would push me away and not tell me anything.
Exactly.
I'm going to make sure that you know. And the first time I watched this, I've watched them three times now. But the first time I watched the scenes, I was like, really? Like, what the hell is this relationship between Danny and Jason? Like, this is weird. Like, the way But I think the last time I watched it, I was like, oh, I was picking up on what they were trying to put down. Right. Which is like, Jason knows he's not staying. So it's like, yeah, this is your son and you love him and you want to love him. But is it fair for you to get overly emotional? Because he is not going to understand you leaving in the way Michael could understand you leaving. And so it was like, close the door. Or, okay, son, let me tell you real quick how to use a gun. Which was nuts. I was like, my Jason, what is this? It's like, what is this parenting? But it is like, you know, I don't, is it fair for me to like be overwhelming with my emotions to you? Is it fair for me to like, whatever, when it's like, the real thing is, promise on something you love. I promise on your life. I was like, promise on Michael's life. But it was like, no matter what, I do love you. And even Molly was like, Jason's been an unorthodox dad. It's like, yeah, that's a cute way to say deadbeat.
Right. But
I do think, you know, I don't doubt that Jason like loves kids. He just has that like, you know, I don't want these kids in the mob. And how do I balance them not being in the mob?
That has always been his conflict. He's always been like thinking about in terms of all of his kids. He even gave up, I think he gave up, was it Jake? Because, too lucky because of that. And
Lucky who then becomes a deadbeat.
Right, who's worse than Jason, isn't it? So all of that, that has always been his conflict. Whenever someone is like, I'm pregnant or I'm about to have your baby, he's like.
Not whatever someone is.
Well, I'm just saying, he's got, what, how many baby moms? But anyway, whenever Elizabeth or Sam, he's always had that, you know, I don't want to be in their life, or you should have another person in their life. So that's always been his conflict. And now it's coming up again. Yeah, it's hard being a mobster.
Shout out to Willow being like the mob nurse. Willow was like, I'll take care of it. Let me go get my medical bag. Now, I didn't know that you just kept medical bags at home, whatever, but let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, she's like, this is not something I planned for, but here we are. And I'm the dutiful nurses to the mob.
I will say that that has, like, because I appreciated the way Michael reflected back to Jason, who Willow was. He was just like, yeah, she seems really nice. And then you find out she's bossed you around. The fact that she was like, look, of course I want some answers, but it's Jason. And so I do wonder what that's going to mean for her relationship with Drew, if that comes up in her relationship with Drew. Because what we know is that crew broke up.
I mean, she's also taking on the mantle of what Bobby used to be. Bobby was the go-to nurse to the mob. And now it's going to be Willow.
You remember when Harley kidnapped Cyrus's mom? It was right. Like, don't worry.
Mom, she's in the best hands.
and Cyrus's mom was.
Yes.
She was mad. She was like, why am I getting taken away from this nice lady and my hummingbird cake?
Right. What you trying to do? So, crew breaking up. Whew. First of all, we were already halfway annoyed with Drew with his obsession on with Nina and just be rabidly angry. Now, I know I said angry Drew or angry Ryan Lavery was hot. He was. But now it's getting on my nerves because why? Jason's back. So you being annoyed, even though you're right to be annoyed and not trusting Carly and her emotions, because yes, Jason is her number one, but you being a part of General Mob Hospital, you need to deal with it as the mob spouse. Yes. Mm-hmm. Even though Carly is not the lead gangster, she is part of that life. And as the mob spouse, you need to understand the relationship that she has between Sunny and Jason is not something that you can compete with, and you got to decide whether or not you can stay in love with her or not. But he chose to take himself out of the equation, and I'm actually kind of fine with it because he was getting on my nerves, and I think Carly needs to move on. So
as the person who's like on the cruise ship, I've always wanted Laura Rae and Cameron Matheson paired since they did the What If crossovers for ABC. Mm-hmm. If you never watched them, go back and watch them. They are so funny because it was like just ABC matchup. So it was like, wasn't it like Jason and Greenlee? It was like Maxie and Rex from What Life to Live.
I don't even remember any of those except for Laura Wright's and Ryan's.
Yeah, it was
Cameron Matheson's.
Yeah, it was a bunch of them. It was like, I'm trying to remember. It was like Sunny and Erica Kane or something like that. It was like a bunch of different ones. It's like Tad the Cat and somebody else, like Blair maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I saw them together and they were like fun and silly and sexy. And that was because he was Ryan Lavery.
Mm-hmm.
And I it just reminded me again why Drew was not needed, and that they could have like just bought Cameron Matheson on as Ryan Lavery if they wanted that.
That would have been fun. Ryan Lavery mixed in with General.
Yeah, because like he had that relationship with Anna. He had whatever. Yeah. Like Drew was created because Billy Miller was so good. R.I.P.
Right.
Like not because like the character of Drew was needed or necessary. Like, it was to make room for Steve Burton to come back the last time.
Right,
right. So I have to say, like, I was, like, kind of sad because I was, like, a person who liked that pairing. I know that they weren't popular. They didn't have a lot of fans. But I'm skipping ahead because I am going to be messy and skip ahead. That Drew and Jordan scene, I said, okay, I'm off the ship and on this one. They were super sparkly together. And shout out to Autumn, who is one of our soap friends. She was like pushing about how good they looked together on like award shows. Like they would like be paired up for stuff like that. Tanisha is fine. Why is she not in like some front burner story, some front burner pairing? She is the kind of person I want to see on magazine covers. Like, she is beautiful, she's gorgeous, and she has been wasted. She has really weird chemistry with TJ, as in like not mother son chemistry, because they're both very beautiful and the same age. So like the mother son situation was like weird. If you like watch their scenes on mute, you're like, is this a will they won't they? Like, what's going on here if you have no context? So I was like, yes, let's give some of that energy somewhere else. And I know people feel a way about Drew because he hasn't been written well. But I would love to see Tanisha in a front burner pairing with somebody who's on contract. I never liked her with Brick. We didn't like her with Stephen A. Smith. I know you and I didn't. So move that out of the way. And yeah, I thought she was really sparkly with Cameron Matheson. So this is before I have my crew say, but that part I really enjoyed. And it'll be messy with Curtis. And as Jen M, another friend of the show, calls them top shelf because they're both tall. Thank you.
They can get stuff off the top shelf. That is cray. Yeah, definitely messy and intriguing. Sparkly. I did think it was definitely sparkly. They both had chemistry and stuff to talk about. And so I am intrigued by it. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I also think at the same time, I think, you know, if casting calls go out, that Tanisha would be great on the gates.
Agreed.
So, you know, if they can't figure it out here in GH, girl, go on to CBS to their new all black show.
100%.
Right.
And that's the same thing for, I'm really jumping ahead. I was like, because I told you, I was like, went down a rabbit hole and I was like, rewatching old GH. Uh-huh. And I was watching that scene. It was like when Sydney was still Trina and they had like Temp Taggart come in.
Oh, yeah. Him. You remember that scene? He would be great.
Bring him in for Portia.
Her
away from Curtis. Brooke and Temp Taggart were really good together.
Yes.
Bring her. So anyway, that's a fan casting over there. We'll put that on the parking lot for right now.
Let's exactly. Right.
Let's talk about crew. Okay. So here's the frustrating part for me. That there is real history for Drew to lean into about Carly that is not this. The last time we saw him with Jason, even prior to Cassadine Island, the last time we saw before the recast, Jason and Drew weren't besties, but they certainly were in a decent place.
Right.
And then they leave Cassadine Island, Jason's dead, and then Drew is like mourning anywhere with anyone who will listen to him about it. So this idea that he would just be like, F Jason, turn him into the cops, is nuts.
Yeah.
Like, you just had a traumatic experience in jail and now you are like so trusting of the like system that you're like, yeah, bring Jason in without even wondering where he's been because you were just with him. You were one of the last people to see him. So you should be the one saying like, it doesn't make sense that this will be how it is. I was held hostage on Cassadine Island. I know how these people are. I have to wonder where my brother has been.
And Jason came all the way across the world to save your ass from Cassadine Island. That's why he ended up dying to save you.
Well, and to yet, say Liesl, but yes.
To Liesl, but yeah.
Yeah.
So he saved your life, so why are you hating on him all of a sudden?
It's just weird, because like what's real is that the last, like, what happened with Carly, or what he thought was going to happen with Carly, is really, he could say he was triggered. Because this is what happened with Sam.
Right.
When Jason came back, Sam tried to pretend like she still loved him. She tried to pretend, I mean, I thought it was really, you know, it was compelling, and she did. But she even, like, they got married.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, Carson abandoned Drew once Jason came back.
Mm-hmm.
Carly didn't even come back around because they were besties.
Mm-hmm.
She thought it was Jason. Mm-hmm. And she didn't even try to continue a relationship or a friendship with him, knowing that he still had those feelings for her as friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, so that's some history that you can say, I actually don't want to stay around to see that happen again because it's happened to me before.
And right.
He could have had that conversation with Jordan because Jordan really didn't really have that same point of view. So it was a real easy way for him to be like, let me get out of this before this happens. And like being a real, without like you saying you want Jason to be locked up. Because now you just look like super petty.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Instead of throwing his own brother under the bus, he could have been like, okay, I know that the dynamic between you and Jason is real because it happened to me before. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take a step back. But that doesn't mean I think Jason is guilty of shooting Dante, you know. I don't have it or have any doubt. It's, yeah, so that's true. Very much.
I mean, and like even saying, because Sam said it, Sam was like, you know, Jason's been gone and Dante's been raising this kid. Like even like naming that I have like a very great relationship with Dante. Mm-hmm. I also want to know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But not like this like petty, I'm mad that he's alive. It was weird. Mm-hmm. I feel like he was entitled to be frustrated and confused and angry and triggered. Mm-hmm. But the way he went about it, the way they wrote him about it was like really bad. And it didn't even become compelling to see him on screen until he went
got to it with Jordan.
It's with Jordan. Mm-hmm. I also love that Michael didn't care. Willow was like, Drew and your mom broke up. He was like, wow.
Oh,
he's like, man, that's crazy. Anyway, so Jason needs...
Anywho.
Couldn't even care less. I'm like, dang. Not the... I was not a fan of it. I think the same thing with, like, the way they have Sam being... I love Sam down. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna defend my girl always. I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. I love that Christina had to be like,
now look, he's innocent until proven guilty.
It was the epitome of childless auntie. Uh-huh. Who has to like look at their sister like, girl, if you don't come talk to your baby.
If you don't recognize that you're talking about your baby's father right now.
Well, I just know he loves danger, and I just know.
But, what right? are you
talking about, Sam? I get it. I know she's frustrated. I appreciate it. If you go back, Erin, who's on Instagram as Hold the Bat Tight, like Asante fan page, she did this really beautiful edit that I loved, and it was Michael, like the voiceover of Michael talking about Sante's relationship to Sam.
Sam. Mm-hmm.
And I really did love this like acknowledgement of like their closeness and of their bond. We don't get to see enough Sante. Like they don't put the, like we are seeing more Kelly now than we have in like years. And I appreciate them like bringing it back. They've done a really great job as actors of portraying like the family bond. So I don't want for Sam to be like, F Dante, I believe Jason 100%. I think that it was right that she would feel conflicted, especially because her man is laying up in bed.
Right. But not but to
not
the,
that.
Not to badmouth your son's father to his face. That's not a good
and to
idea.
Not, like, think right. that. No matter how bad and like deadbeat of a parent Jason has been, again, like, why are we not thinking something happened?
Exactly.
That he would be away for that amount of time. Even if you thought he was a deadbeat, you knew he wouldn't be away from Carly and Michael and him like that.
He may be away from you, but he would never be away from Michael.
Especially after seeing everything that's happened. You know, right. If he could get back, he would have gotten back. So, like, just this idea that he was, like, away and just was like, guess playing I won't hooky. Go back. Right.
Even, but it sounds, yeah, so yeah. It's, yeah, or, like not even thinking that what could be an extenuating circumstance. Knowing how you knew this man.
Yeah.
Why are you automatically even in doubt that there is an extenuating circumstance?
Both loves of his life, both Sonny and Sam, are clowning right now when it comes to Jason.
Right!
Like, what's happening here?
And Sam,
it's so weird.
Sam doesn't even have the excuse of being jealous over Carly and Jason's relationship because she actually was one of the people that accepted the fact that they got married. So
kind of. No, they were kinda shady to Sam. Do you remember they were like really
shady? Yeah, they were like that, like Sam was the last person to know. I remember.
And then she like ran up on them and she was like, oh, I guess it's finally happening. I didn't like that because I'm a Car Sam fan, you know what I'm saying? And right. So I was like, Carly should have 100% called Sam and been like, this is happening.
Right.
You know, I wasn't a fan of that. I
was just thinking about the reason that Sonny is upset that he gave, which we're probably going to talk about in the future. I'm jumping the gun. The reason he gave to Lois.
Let's talk about it now.
Yeah. Yeah, I was totally not feeling his point of view on that.
It was bad. So Lois is at Sonny's penthouse. They're talking. She obviously had cooked because, you know, that's Lois. And then he was like talking about like not trusting. So, he trusts Ava now. And Ava was the person who showed him like Jason. And he just felt like he never knew Jason, which was weird because he was like, he's been gone for 2 years and maybe more.
Right.
You were in Nixon Falls.
So, oh my God. Just like, okay, he of all people should be thinking something might be going on with Jason's head because right. That was the reason why you were in Nixon Falls, falling in love with some other woman and pretending to be somebody else. So why aren't you thinking that maybe something happened with Jason similar to what happened to me? Even if, like, you didn't have all the brain history that Jason has. He of all people should be giving Jason all the benefits of the doubt. But I'm sorry.
Please don't apologize. It just was like, it just didn't make sense. Like, you think that Jason would work with some organization to take you out over Carly? Like, what are you talking about? Because then what do you think, that he would kill you and then he would like swoop in and be with Carly? Y'all not even together.
He might do that over Michael. And once he finds out what you did to Michael, he might be like, dude, you gotta go. But that's not over Carly.
Quite blank. That's quite right. Blank. That ain't no sniper. Like, it's just, right. It was like, I was floored at the scene. The dialogue was so bad. And also because Sonny has been living in Delulu land for a while, I couldn't be like, maybe this is out of character. Because it was like, no, Sonny is very, very selfish. But yeah, the idea that like it didn't come up. That it didn't come up that Jason, that something might be wrong with Jason, that he might be programmed, that he might be whatever. It also was like, again, if Jason wanted to shoot you, Jason would have shot you. So how is it not coming up that you are fine? And maybe Jason, like, you know, moved you out of the way. He might have moved you out of the way. He then triaged your kid. Like, it was.
Or not to mention the fact that he clearly believes that Jason shot Dante. Jason shot Dante while he was running away from Dante. Shot him point blank in the chest. That's what you believe. But Jason sitting on the roof, calm, cool, and collected, missed when he was trying to shoot you.
Come on. And then he only did it once. And then that, come on. Just ridiculous. Yeah, I wasn't feeling it. I'm not feeling it. Anna's the only person who's using her brain.
I feel like it's the same kind of betrayal that I felt like when Sonny turned his back on the people, on his family for Nina. Mm-hmm. He's now turning his back on the people who's closest to him just off of the suggestion from Ava. Now, I don't blame Ava for this. I blame Sonny because he is that fickle. He will choose whoever he's listening to that appeals to his ego the most. So, you know, and this is why you have family that don't trust that you can run your own business, because you're like that, right?
My goodness, that read.
I'm just saying, you be making some emotional, selfish-ass decisions, and that's why Michael and Carly felt like they needed to come in and have somebody watch you, because you can't, you're not even loyal, and you put loyalty above everything else, and you are the least loyal of the bunch.
Read him. Absolutely. It was terrible.
Terrible.
Also, okay, so this Selena Wu situation. So, first of all, let's just say that Selena came in there looking good in her dress.
I love that whole scene.
Amazing. And that
everything.
But do you think, so Selena comes in, tells Marshall and Curtis that that Sonny was like part of like the setup, and that he had like, he was the reason that Curtis was shot and all of that. Do you think that she believed that, or do you think she was just trying to start some mess?
First of all, I have to talk about the scene.
Yes, please.
First of all, she comes sauntering into the club, looking fabulous, hands off the coat to her bodyguard, like, here. Mm-hmm. And then is all in attitude, plus one. Plus two, hat daddy, gangster daddy. Be like, I don't care who you dragging in off the bottom of your shoe. I ain't afraid of you. Get out.
He's like, you must have forgot. I beat up Joey Novak on the dock with my bare hands.
See, a lot of people have a problem with Hat Daddy as he is now, because focusing on, you know, the whole doctor thing. We'll talk about that later. This is the Hat Daddy that I am intrigued by. I am entertained, fully entertained by. And I really want them to really dive deep into that Hat Daddy. Like, we still don't know for sure what he was doing in between the time that he left his family and came back. I really think he was somebody's enforcer or something, because he has too many skills and he has the attitude of somebody that don't give a damn. So I want to know what that is. He's not just some mild-mannered clarinet player. He has something going on, and I really want to know that backstory, because it was hilarious. Whether or not Selena actually believes it or is starting mess, I don't know. I mean, it's reasonable for her to cast doubt, because she has not been in the mix in the same way that everybody in town has. So I don't know. She could be starting mess. But it doesn't matter, because it's amazing, and I liked it. So, yeah,
that's right. I do appreciate Curtis kind of being like, why would he get his own son shot? So let's talk about Black Hospital for a second. This story with apparently Hat Daddy, like his misdiagnosis. Now we find out that we find out from Kevin that the doctor who did it was like racist against young, poor black men with attitude, apparently. and that's like part of the story now. I thought it was like, I think we miss umbrella stories, and we miss people become like almost like it off the canvas without anybody talking about them, because they're not connected to the bigger story. So I don't understand why we're telling this Hat Daddy story. Nobody cares about that while people are talking about like Jason's return and where he's been, because they haven't set up enough mystery. Like, if this story would have been happening a year ago, this is like, or when Hat Daddy first came back, this is like mystery, intrigue, we're interested. Now it's kind of like, this feels like something on the back burner that you was just like, oh, let's put a story up. While something that's actively we're worried about and wondering about is happening. So I just like really was like, what is happening here? I also was like really confused as to why Trina is not in this story. So it just, the state of Black Hospital, I mean, I hope that they get their shit together, because the Gates is coming. I hope that all, I don't know what's happening on other shows with Black characters, but I really do hope they get it together, because this is not it. The urgency that you have is not it for Black people. The like removal of Black people from like main story. I think at this point, like I understand, I 100%, this is not, I get why Jocelyn hasn't told Trina stuff, because like, you know, she's a mob kid and she understands that you don't bring people who are not in the mob. But Trini should be in the story. She should have stumbled upon the information. She'd have forced Jocelyn to tell her, and then Jocelyn should have broken down and been like, okay, here it is. She should have, because that would bring her on screen if she was in the mob story. There's just like no she also works with Ava. We should be seeing her in her, like, you know, she's grieving and then she's putting two and two together. Like, okay, this is happening over here, this is happening over there. Like, somebody needs to let me in on this. And then she could be in the story while also being like grieving her pairing. Because this is not like, if it feels like they're not interested in investing in the character in a real way. Because all she was doing was being part of Sabrina. And so I hate the comparison between Sabrina and Jess. I think that there's no comparison. I think that it's always been silly. But the reason that Jex was on was to create the stakes because they were part of the larger mob story. So, like, they were on and they are on now because they are part of the mob. Sabrina had their own story that was separate from every other story. So now that coupling is not there, for however long it's not going to be there, it feels like there's not much for Trina to do because she's not a part of larger story. So they have to stop allowing couples to be created that are not part of the larger story overall, because when something happens between them, then one of, like, they get discarded.
I think another story that she could be a part of is the A story. I think it would have been totally natural for her for her to feel guilty over how she felt about Spencer and Ace, to transfer her grief towards Ace and wanting to be a part of his life and wanting to take care of him as a way to feel closer to Spencer. I think that would also be a natural storyline for her. And they're not taking advantage of that. Like you said, there's multiple ways that Trina could be a part of the canvas, and she's not. And it's really sad and heartbreaking. As far as the Hat Daddy story, throughout the whole week, I was questioning, why are we focusing on this Dr. Braddock, where there is no proof that he was the one that actually misdiagnosed Hat Daddy? What did Curtis say? Here's what I wrote. Curtis: hey, I found a random doctor who was on staff at the same time at the same hospital you were in. I'm not sure it was him, but I found out where he lived, so let's go on a road trip and harass him about it. That's what it sounded to me. And yet they're just full on like, this is it. This is Dr. Braddock is the man. And they're all acting like it was him. So that's my question the whole week. Y'all are acting like this is the man that actually did the diagnosis, and you have no proof of that. And now we're finding out he's a racist. We don't know nothing about this man other than he was in the hospital at the same time as Hat Daddy.
And that he's a racist.
And he's a racist now.
So we know that. We know that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I do want to go back. I don't care about Ace. I think those actors, those babies are very, very cute.
You're like, I don't
care. Very cute. Like, I do not care about that baby. I will say that I think that, you know, even if it... I don't think that Trina's only story should be grief. I think that her story should be moving through grief. And so I would, of course, like, love to see her, like, have tea with Laura just to, like, come and talk about, like, life, and have Laura be somebody she gives some point of view, like, oh, yeah, I'm about in school, I'm doing this, I'm still at the gallery.
Right.
I'm working with Ava. Like, let us have something. Like, because here's my thing. Don't cancel me. I don't know if Spencer's, like, is Nicholas Chavez coming back? And if he is coming back, because I don't know the ins and outs of his contract. I don't know any of that. Whatever happens, we know it's short term. That boy not going to stay here. Mm-mm. He got a Ryan Murphy show. He'll come back when it's, like, in, like, editing, post-production, whatever, finish out his arc. I don't even see him staying on as recurring. He's going to have so many opportunities. So, like, he's not gonna want to tie himself down to GH in that way. So mm-hmm. if he has to finish his contract, he will finish his contract if he has to. But he's not, I don't see that him staying here in any extended sense of time. So say he comes back, it is not, what does that mean for Trina? That she would then go back into a pairing with him, and then when he leaves, like, not be invested in again?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she needs to be able to, because Tabiana's career is not tied to his. And I don't know, maybe she doesn't want to be on, she was happy to be on GH. I don't know what other things she's, like, looking to do or trying to do. I don't know if she has other opportunities. But it looks like this is a show that she wants to be on for a minute. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So she has to be able to show she can be in other pairings, that she can do whatever. I'm a fan of Sam. Like, first and foremost, that's my girl. And I have been a fan of all of Sam's pairings. I didn't particularly care too much for Silas, but it wasn't unwatchable. I wasn't like, oh, I hate this so much. So as a fan of Sam, I'm like, J-Sam might have been the couple that I started with, and I might be really into Sante now, but I've never not been into one of her pairings. If, as Trina fan, like, Sprina could be the couple that you're a fan of, but she also has to show, and the show has to show, that they are interested in investing in her beyond that pairing, because he's not going to always be there. Now, mm-hmm. this is also a soap, so it could be like, you know, some years later, he comes back. Whenever she's ready to go, he comes back and they go off in the sunset together, like, whatever it is. But if she is present, that can't just be connected to him. And so I think to, like, have him die and then have her disappear, where is the investment in her as a character outside of Sprina? Because Sprina's not going to be there for the entire time that she's there. And that, I think, has been particularly, like, what's going on here. And it also is just, like, again, about, like, disappearing Black characters because they're not connected to, like, the overall arching story. Mm-hmm. And in the one Black story that you're telling, she ain't in that either. It's weird.
I mean, yeah, there are certain characters where, you know, regardless of where they're at and their relationship status, they're going to be on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And, but unfortunately, right now, they're not treating Trina as somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's heartbreaking and sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, like, if you're comparing Trina to Sam, no matter what, is going to be on the scene. She can be single and living the life of a single woman, and she'll still be on the campus.
But I also think that Eve invested, right. I mean, because I think that Sam has not been on enough.
She hasn't been on, yeah.
And I think that, like, it's also about, like, the overinvestment, because mm-hmm. you don't have a lot of Black characters. Like, y'all have one Black family that's not even rooted in the history of the show. It's somebody that you made up a few years ago, as opposed to bringing in, like, Hardys or Wards, mm-hmm. right? Like, so what happens when you, I mean, we've talked about this a bunch. We don't even know Jordan's main name. Maybe she'll tell Drew.
Like, maybe we'll find out. Yeah, maybe we'll find out more of her backstory now that, you know, somebody else is interested in her. Who's right. new? Who doesn't know her?
Right. Right. Doesn't know her like that, right? Like,
right. Like, she can actually talk about herself and not be about somebody else's story.
Mm-hmm.
And not have it be about Curtis, who she had an affair with his brother, and all the other, all of what we know about Jordan is a result of Curtis, and not about as a result of her, who she is as a person.
Right.
So
agreed. other quick things. Oh, Blaze and her mom meet up. I'm mad that they got Maria Santos being a homophobe. I think that a much more interesting story to me. I mean, like, yeah, look, the sexuality piece is important, and that right. can be a part of the story. And I think that what another compelling part of the story is that she's not doing her music the way she's supposed to be. And mm-hmm. then that brings Brooklyn into it. You signed mm-hmm. with this person. We haven't seen it. Like, let's connect these stories. Like, when you have people just being disparate stories and are not connected across the board, that's mm-hmm. when we don't see them and their stories become hard to invest in. Mm-hmm. It could be very easily for Maria Santos to be like, girl, why are you not at work?
Very clear. And we already, and we know that why Brooklyn's not at work, because she's all into the Quartermain business and mm-hmm. trying to get it for Maxie. So mm-hmm. it's very, there's a very legitimate reason for Maria Santos to be upset.
Right.
And, but they're, yeah. So they're choosing to make her a homophobe, which is sad. Man.
Yeah. I don't like it. So stop doing that. Syrian drama.
Who?
The story with TJ talking to Jordan. Oh. He sounded ridiculous. He sounded ridiculous. Like, oh, now the baby's gonna be connected to Sunny. Molly's Sunny's niece. We don't talk about it, but
yeah,
but that's happening. And if you do, you think the mob is going through the family tree? Like, okay, this was the surrogate for this person, so therefore they are now in. No, plus TJ, you were close to Sunny. Sunny paid for your med school, so let's have that conversation. Let's say, even if TJ was saying that he was like, oh, you know, when I was younger, I didn't know any better, and Sunny even paid for my med school. I'm close to him, but I knew it's dangerous.
Right. Something,
but like, let's not pretend like Christina is the only mob tie here. That was wild.
Well, at least it looks like he's not going to try it. Like, they're not going to try to have them have an affair and take the baby away from Molly. Because right now it's not looking like that's happening.
Which is disappointing to me.
It's disappointing.
Okay. No shade to Molly. I never want people to be out of a job. They really could kill Molly. And then let that there be a custody battle between TJ and Christina because Molly's gone. That would be the most interesting thing they could do with that character. And I've never liked Molly.
And and I think it may go that way, because once Alexis becomes a lawyer, there really is no reason to have Molly on the scene. Except Molly's on the DA side. I don't think Alexis is going to go on the DA side. But
no.
It may end up happening that way. It may end up being Alexis DA and Diane the defender, and they're going to go head to head, because it seems like they like talking about that when they go head to head. So yeah, Molly may be out of a job, and her mama get back.
Molly should have never been a DA. Mm-hmm. Molly always, like, the way that character was developed, the fact that she would become a cop is silly. She should have always been some sort of like defense attorney.
Yeah. And
even if it was like she went to go work for a law firm that was like doing environments, like whatever it was, we don't see her at work enough to justify changing who this character is to make her a DA. It was mm-hmm. ADA. It was silly. But yeah, I think that would be the most compelling story. Kill her off. Alexis has story. Sam has story. Christina has story. TJ has story. We can finally get TJ another pairing. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Kill her off. Bye.
Sorry, Molly. You ain't got to be killed off. Maybe you go and get a fellowship somewhere. But you need to go.
You gotta go. Heather Weber in her Grey's Anatomy story.
I'm mad that you had made it a Grey's Anatomy story, and I just actually noticed on my DVR that I think it premiered this week, right? So I need to go back and watch. Maybe I'm not going to be watching that movie because I forgot.
So Heather Weber has a cobalt hip. Okay, so let me talk to my Grey's fans for a second. If you are a Grey's Anatomy watcher, you know that this was a story that they did for Richard Weber. And they had Richard Weber. Oh, the Weber. Hip
thing?
Yeah.
Oh, and that's how he got hooked to drugs again.
No, he never got back on drugs.
Or alcohol.
No, he never got back on alcohol again.
He would, but he's, well, maybe not as a result of the hip thing. Because he was struggling with his alcohol for a while.
Yeah, this is more recently. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was like, no, Richard Weber is my TV dad. I cannot handle it. Okay. I can't handle him getting back on the drink. drink. Anyhow, so if you watch GH and you watch Grey's, you know that this was a storyline that Richard was like kind of acting erratically and you didn't know what was happening. He kind of had like a meltdown at a conference and they didn't know what was going on. And it was like this whole thing. They were like, maybe he has Alzheimer's, maybe he has whatever. And then it took a lot, like days, weeks of research. Andrew DeLuca with his fine self went like nuts again trying to find, you know, no disrespect, trying to find like the cure to finally find out was cobalt poisoning because of him. So you're telling me that instantly, maybe because of the work of Andrew DeLuca, you find out that Heather has cobalt poisoning. Let's also be really clear that Richard Weber just had a meltdown on, oh, that may be why you thought he was drinking, because people thought he was drinking and he wasn't. He had a meltdown at a conference. Heather became a serial killer.
So you're trying to nature.
You're trying to tell me that a cobalt hip made Heather a serial killer.
Now, I'm trying to, like, sorry, but I fell asleep during some of those scenes. So the detail, it like, how long has she had that hip replacement?
So
and, yeah, so when are they trying to say that she started being crazy?
Because didn't the hip get replaced as a result of her jumping, trying to jump off the roof with Danny?
Oh, way back in the day. That I'm sorry, way back in the day. That happened 2 years ago. Danny was a baby.
This was like more than, this was like 2013, 2014, whatever the first time Jason was taken by the harbor.
Oh my God. Like that long ago?
Yeah, it was that long ago. It was a different Heather, obviously, a different actress. But yeah, like that is when I believe they're thinking that. Anyway, point is, even if that was the case, a cobalt hip is not making you a serial killer.
And all of a sudden having a big rash. Like all of a sudden she had that hip replacement. So when did the leak started happening? They're not, I don't know. Any case, they're not building it.
It was correctly. Like, no, I am not accepting it as a Grey's fan, as a fan of common sense. I'm not accepting it. It was bad. I hate it.
In soap opera land, you gotta throw away common sense, though, sometimes.
You do, but not this. Also, GH doing anti-vape PSAs with Finn and Jake.
Oh, okay. I was like, did they actually do a PSA?
No.
I was like, they didn't take it that seriously.
It felt like, you remember back in the day when Saved by the Bell had the one thing, and it was like, there's no hope with dope. That was like how I felt they were doing with Jake and Finn.
Dare to care or something like that.
I don't care. I think they're just like trying to establish that like Fizzle is solid and ain't going nowhere right now.
And that Finn has a place in the family.
Hate it. Stupid. Also, did Finn kind of like out Jake?
What do you mean?
Not Jake, I'm sorry. Aiden. So basically he like told Liz about the boy Aiden liked. And then Liz was like surprised about it. Like, not that like she was like, oh, is it a problem about him and this boy? And she was like, no, I'm just surprised he told you. Finn, you would have told Liz without knowing if she knew?
Yes, he did.
Just casually?
He did.
Trash. trash. Absolutely not. Oh, we didn't even talk about the big plot twist. Duh. Jagger. Sorry, y'all, I'm tripping. Maybe I have a couple.
We are going back and forth, truly, but it's okay.
Jagger knows Jason. He's the man in the, man in the room with no windows,
right? And he has something that would amount to RICO charges, which is forcing Jason to do these little hits.
Racketeering, right?
Racketeering, so yeah.
I am interested to know who it's against. Is it like Carly from when they took over the mob together? Is it Morgan coming back? Is it Sunny? Like, who are the charges? Who would make Jason disappear from his family to do this?
The only thing I can think of is something Michael did.
Yeah, did somebody find the flash drive that Dex had?
But he had been, it was immediately after the avalanche that he was caught. So it had to have been something for at least 2 years that happened at least 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, that's why it was Carly.
Yeah, something that Carly did or something that, yeah. That's a mystery.
Mm-hmm. So two things that we can wrap it up because there are two things that are kind of similar. Mm-hmm. There's like the Alexis Nina stuff and then there's the Jex stuff. So Nina, ridiculous at the Invader.
So ridiculous.
It was, oh my God.
She's like, what are all these typos and blah, blah, blah? You should have, like, hello, who are you talking to?
Trash. Nina went to Alexis and was like mad because somebody, they wrote something about Sunny and the Invader. And then Gregory comes in with his like non like typed out copy edited thing. Nina's mad, snatches it away, and it's like, what are all these typos?
Like, girl, it's a rough draft. It's not a final draft.
And it wasn't even like he was turning it into you.
Right. He was turning it into the editor.
To edit.
To edit more.
It was dumb. And then Nina just like all over the place trying to like, how is Alexis, Sunny's baby mama, and is like more objective than Nina being like, oh my God, Sunny's gonna be so mad. Girl, this is annoying.
Right.
Stand up. This is pathetic. I don't even have anything else to say beyond that. I don't need to drag Nina. Nina's dragging herself. I have no Nina drags this week. Shockingly.
Yeah. Well, and then how are you going to, you think you're going to endear yourself to Sunny by blackmailing his enforcer? Because what you're really doing is blackmailing him. You're putting him more at risk as well.
So we find Nina leaving the Invader, going to Dex's house to be like, Dex, oh my God, please tell Sunny I wasn't whatever. And then when she sees he's packing, she asks him this question. Jocelyn is obviously there, snarky. I was confused because I was like, Ava already told you that Dex doesn't work for Sunny anymore. So why are you here?
Like, she wants Dex to do something. I don't know what it is.
Right, but like, she already heard from Ava.
Right.
That Dex doesn't work for Sunny anymore, and it wasn't like an amicable split.
Right.
So you want Dex to then go tell Sunny something on your behalf. Well, Sunny's not even talking to Dex in that way. And then you're salty because Jocelyn gets slick with you, and then you snitch on Sunny again.
She's doing is proving why she's so problematic to Sunny, to the whole family. Like, she really doesn't give a damn. And if she loves Sunny like she says she is, if she thinks that she can be a better wife to Sunny than Carly and all of them, she wouldn't be doing this shit. She's putting not only Dex at risk, which is going to piss off Joss, she's putting Sunny at risk and the whole family at risk. She's showing how singularly selfish that she can be in order so she can get back into Sunny's orbit. It's not going to work.
Right.
And it's only going to make everybody else even more mad.
I mean, so something I was like thinking, I was like, Sunny got a lot of leaks up in his org.
He sure does.
Because you got who was it? Oh, TJ telling Jordan about the Puerto Rico shooting because Christina told Molly, who told him. What? What are we talking about? And Christina found out because what? She overheard Harley and like, what are these leaks? Y'all not mobbing right. And then you have Nina going and being like to try to get back. Nina, why are you beefing with a 20-year-old? It's weird. It's weird. It's weird. And she goes to them for whatever. And then when she gets mad and doesn't get her way because Jocelyn got under her skin, you let a Gen Z get under your skin? Girl, I got something for you because Gen Z will get under your skin all day. But so she lets Jocelyn get under her skin and then she snitches on Sunny again. And she's like, well, you should know what I found. Are you not mobbing right either? You tell, like, I was over it. I Jocelyn being like, I don't have any backs for you to stab, crack me up. Her being like, oh yeah, he broke up with Dex, kind of like he broke up with you. And like, you know, and then she gets so salty, she like tells that her husband commissioned a murder to somebody who doesn't like her husband. What?
I don't understand her thought process at all. And now we're going to see in the preview, she's going to go back to Ava talking about, talk me up to Sunny, girl.
Whispering. We also saw in the previews that Jex is going to break up next week. Which makes me really sad. I like Jex. But it's one of the first breakups, you know. Y'all know, we know how couples go.
Right.
Do you have anything else? I feel like we talked about everything.
Let me see.
I'm looking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the only thing I had under hot takes is, if it's night, why is Avery going to school? So when Lois was, like, at Sunny's house, it was clearly in the evening, right? And then she's like, where's Ava? He was like, oh, she's taking Avery to school. I'm like, is it a lock-in? Like, what are they doing? Why is Avery at school?
I don't know. I did have this funny hot take. And where was Donna? I had this funny hot take about Crew.
Tell us.
When Ryan was, or no, sorry.
Ryan?
And Drew was like, it's just the two of you. You come first to each other. You always have and you always will. My quip was like, and? Say less.
Because it's like, bro, you went to jail because Carly wouldn't tell on Sunny, but Jason being back is too much.
Right. So I was just cracking myself up on that. But it's interesting, you know, how Sam, again, has turned. Well, this was all on Monday, right? She was like, whoever did this.
Yeah. She was mobbing again. Well,
she was about that mob life. That's what I was like. Sam is still down for the mob life. She's like, do you understand what I'm telling you? Yes.
I know you murder.
I know you kill people, so make sure you go after this man.
So make sure you murder.
Right.
This dude who went after my man. My man.
And then I had this other one where Heather was like, the next time you touch a patient, you need to wear mittens. And I was like, she should be wearing gloves, though. Anyway, because right. of COVID. But, you know, bygones.
I love that every time Amy's there, she gets dragged. It's just like they only bring Amy, that nurse, out to get dragged.
I almost feel for the actress because, one, Amy gets dragged. Also, two, Amy is nothing but a gossip, and everyone hates it about her. So she's just almost playing the most hated character on the show.
Yes, she is.
But she's probably, I followed a couple of her tweets. She's probably the most cheerful person ever. She does seem cheerful, yeah. So.
Look, I'm happy to be here.
You know, I'm happy to be here and the most hated character of the show. Yeah. But yay!
Nah, she got Nina.
Right.
I will say this. I was trying to figure out if I was going to even say something. So I will say this about, like, what I find to be really funny around, like, who listens to fans and what fandom this and what fandom that, is I think that, like, as fans in general, myself included, we get, like, this sense of self-importance. And, like, here's what I'll say. Go on Instagram. Just Instagram. You don't have to go nowhere else. And look at, like, the amount of likes certain posts have. And it's really easy. Like, the fandom doesn't like this or the fandom doesn't like that. I don't like this. That's why I try. If I say we don't like something, I usually means me and Tanya. I try not to, like, speak for, like, a fandom in general or, like, the fandom of soaps or the fandom of GH overall. Because there's a really big difference between conversation that happens on one platform versus another. And I just so happened to, like, be looking. I was like, I wonder, like, on Instagram, like, what is the kind of stuff that has the most likes versus, like, the most comment, the most, like, you know, like, just, like, the most interaction around it. I just think it's eye-opening to see what people are talking about and the ways that they're talking about it. And then coupling that with, like, this whole idea of, like, fandom and, like, fan bases and who gets catered to, or, like, the show not listening to certain people or certain whatever, because I'm like, where do everybody think something so differently based on which platform? I don't actually even know who folks would listen to. So I do try to, like, wonder and keep up with, I don't want what people say on Twitter or what people say on Facebook or what people say on Instagram to, like, completely impact the way we talk about it. I love that we have our own opinions. But I'm also really curious as to what other people think and, like, how other people see the show. And so I would just encourage people to do that as we are talking about, you know, they're not listening to this fan base or they're not listening to whoever. Who's actually talking and where is it at? Yeah.
I just want to say I'm more of a voyeur than anything. I'm not really listening to any fan base. I do see random comments and I'm like, oh, or what? Yeah. But then I'll keep it moving because I honestly, there's just so much going on. Mm-hmm. I often don't get in the mix of the full drama between fans. Yeah. I just see it and I'm just like, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not interested in getting, like, personal or, right. Like, I like to talk about the show. I like to gossip about the show. What do you think? Mm-hmm. And what do you, whatever, but I don't like to do it in a way that, like, feels negative. Like, this is my escape. I'm not trying to, like, be nasty about it because, like, being nasty about something is not my escape. I mean, shout out to anybody who watches Love is Blind. If you watch Love is Blind, the last season was very messy. And there's, like, people who have, like, folks who are, like, sliding into their DMs. It's different from soaps because these are actually, like, real people that people, like, leave nasty comments for or whatever. And, like, for me, even if I saw people, like, leave, like, a comment about how they don't like something on, like, for example, like, the Love is Blind page, that's really different to me than going to, like, a actual, like, person's page and leaving something nasty. Like, that's wild. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's what happens on, like, any of these platforms with soaps. I'm just saying that, like, I like the positive of it all. I like to laugh, even if stuff I don't like, you know, I don't like Nina. We talk about that all the time. We laugh about it. I'm not like going to be nasty to, like, the actress who plays Nina. Like, that don't even make sense to me. You know what I mean? Like, I would never go on her page and be like, I hate the way you played whatever. Like, for what?
It's a character.
Yeah. So I don't know. I would just, like, encourage people, if you want to see what other fans are talking about or how fans are talking about the show, to get outside of, like, one bubble or another, get on one platform, you know, other platforms and see. Because I think it's, like, illuminating to me that I'm like, oh, when I was on Twitter, for example, I thought fans thought one way. And then I got on another platform and I was like, oh, wow. Like, stuff that I was like, we don't like it as a fandom. And I'm like, oh no, there are people who do like this.
Well, that's because, I mean, and just looking at a broader point of view, each platform caters to different populations, right? Yeah. Like, so, you know, Facebook caters generally to the older folks who really are there about connecting With family and friends. Now it's getting more and more like, but still, in all, it is the place where, you know, the older people tend to hang out. And then Instagram has the younger set, and it's more about story and telling a story and connecting with people that tell stories. And then now Twitter and X is all about trash. But but it's also the most conservative site, and there's a lot of people that do be trolling for no reason as well. So it's an interesting, you know, thing. It's like, you're not going to get the same opinions from people on these different sites. Everyone, because it caters to different people who interact.
Yeah. I think that's really a really smart take to tie in. I think that the other part is Instagram is really like a, especially like if you're on like a fan page or something like that, it really is about like leaving your comment and bouncing. Right. I'm not like building community around the comment I like make. Right.
Exactly.
I don't care about who I piss off. I'm going to say what I have to say, and then I'm going to bounce. Right. If I don't like a character, if I like a character, whatever it is.
Right.
With Twitter, it's different because that's about creating conversation. It's about the back and forth. And it's also about the likes. Mm-hmm. So it is really easy. And I found myself not necessarily doing that when we still had a Twitter, but like saying, okay, let me not say this, or let me cater this to like not be controversial on our Twitter page. Mostly not because I cared about it, but I was like, oh, because this is when Sandra was still with us. That sounded weird. When Sandra was still on the show with us. Sandra's doing great, about to be in a play.
Yay.
Thriving, living great life. Very busy. But like, I was like, oh, I don't want to tweet something that could be controversial. That's just my opinion and not all three of our opinion. And so I found myself like really like catering to and tweeting out the stuff that felt the most universally like liked on Twitter. Because it was like, okay, this is how I'm using this platform for Sunday Shift, so that we're not having people like mad at like you because I don't like something, or mad at, you know, whatever.
Right.
And so I think that, you know, it does, in general, like Twitter is designed to get likes and to have like the back and forth of conversation. And so the way that people tweet out or how they talk about it is going to be really different than like Instagram, for example, which is like almost like a grab and go situation. So anyway, I say all that just to say, just because I see some conversation, not all of it, comes from my For You page, because there are still people who I met through some Twitter who I actually like as people who I still follow. So I get some stuff sometimes. And I'm like, what is this? What? Like, is this what y'all think? That I think is really fascinating. And I just, you know, just want to put out there that like, it for me as a person, it's always interesting to look at like what other fans are saying on outside of the platform that I'm used to using. So ready for next week previews?
All right.
We're doing it. Monday. Dex makes a confession to Jocelyn. We know that is about like that he was gonna murder Cyrus. Tracy shares a moment with Sunny. Diane offers encouragement to Alexis. Oh yeah, we didn't even say that Alexis is going to go back to being a lawyer. Thank God, tired of her being at the Invader. Kevin explains what might have led to Marshall's misdiagnosis, aka racism. Stella has an unlikely encounter. Tuesday, Joss opens up to Carly. Dex confides in Anna. Sunny offers Natalia some valuable insights. So that's, you know, Maria Santos. Jason gets a visitor. Brooklyn lays in to Jagger. Wednesday, Tracy sees a new side of Cody. Alexis informs Molly about her plans. Natalia has a revelation. Anna makes an admission to Jagger over drinks. Thursday, Drew has a proposition for Nina. A photo shoot at Deception goes wrong. Laura and Heather find some common ground. Willow is worried by her actions. Friday, Jason reaches out to Diane for help. Maxie calls Lucy out. Cody and Olivia comfort each other. Sasha makes a huge decision. Chase and Brooklyn are stunned. I do hope now that Drew was like, I'm breaking up with you and you ain't got no job, which I thought Carly had already quit anyway, that we see. I want Maxie to take over Crimson. So that's my wish.
And it sounds like Jason's going to get arrested soon.
I think so.
Because there were some photo floating around of Jason getting a mugshot. So
yeah,
he might be getting arrested soon.
Yeah, calls on Diane. So we shall see. We shall see. I do hope that we get a scene of Sam confronting Jason in the interrogation room. Call back to their meeting.
Back to a lot of confrontational.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They broke up that one time.
Yeah.
Or she admitted that she saw Jake getting stolen. There's a lot going on in that confrontation room between Sam and Jason.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Well, thank y'all so much for listening. Make sure you like, make sure you subscribe, make sure that you tell people about us, let them know that you enjoy listening to Sunday Shift and they should listen too. Also, make sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a comment. We love the comments. We love talking back to you.
Comment. And, comment.
That's right. And we will see you next week.
Yay! Bye.